show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We are Afternoon Drive. We got Kayla Cole, John on the board. We got Sweet Young Thang, Jax Gregory behind the glassy knoll. We got Meredith Kane in the 2020s. But, JP, it is a hump day. That is right, everybody. It is a hump day. And I'm pulling off the sort of the Shock G look today.
They're so tiny.
They are. They Chip, who's one of our great listeners, I saw him today and he gave these to me in honor of Shock G. And they don't reach back to my ears.
No.
Yeah, this is problematic. It's also problematic that this is a video bit that I'm doing on radio.
Are you going to wear this all show? Because I actually really think it'd be fun if we got into costumes.
Wouldn't we be ripping off Dan Le Batard?
Yes.
Okay.
I still think it'd be fun.
All right. I'll have to think about it because this thing keeps popping off my gigantic schnoz.
Does Dan Le Batard, does he own all exclusive rights to wearing costumes while on video and talking sports?
No, but now that I see every show copying it in history, I do think it's become hackneyed.
Okay.
When they do it, it's awesome. But when who's the knob on NFL Network that I, Michael
Adam
P.
Rank.
Florio and Adam Rank
you
do
hate
it.
You hate Adam Rank.
I would like to burn the whole thing to the ground. This really is not. He gave me another pair here. Let me see. Go ahead and talk for a minute.
Yeah, okay. You look ridiculous. I like that he gave you multiple pairs unless the first pair broke or something?
No, this one
better be bigger, by the way. This one better be at least
easy.
Hello. This one needs to at least stretch all the way to your ears.
Also easy.
Hello.
Yeah, all right. So this one actually has some...
a strap.
I like, by the way, that he enters this being like, no, it's hack when people do these type of things.
Yeah.
As he fumbles to then put the second pair on because it might look better.
Yeah, no. This, I was hoping that the tie down in the back would help me, but it turns out my nose is still too big.
You look ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I got the Bobby Valentine going for anybody wondering.
Yeah.
But it's a hump day. We're honoring Shock G because he perfected this, not Bobby Valentine. If you guys need to look up Digital Underground, go ahead and do yourself a favor. Thank you very much.
I can't take anything you say seriously right now.
Should we stop?
No, I'll do it for 5 hours.
Okay.
Lionel Richie, we'll do it all night long. We can do it all day if you want.
I think I'm going to see how long that this stays on my face, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, let's do it.
So we got a lot to get into. Maybe a Cavs WNBA team. The Browns still stink, and we're one day closer to Thursday Night Football. But, man, was that a disappointing game last night. Right, a lot of people very upset.
You look like you're so happy to be saying it.
You know why?
Because the nose?
Because this is all a play that, and Jax even mentioned this off air. Jax mentioned that every missed Darius Garland shot last night, all he could think about is JP is just going to duke on the man tomorrow during the show. So the Shock G does have multiple ideas behind it that maybe because this is like a rage muffler that as soon as you look at me in the eyes,
I can't seriously yell about Darius.
Bag on Darius Garland for having one bad game this year, even against Boston, because I have this ridiculous thing on my face.
It might be working. I'm so much happier than what I thought I was going to be going into here. I mean, because it's supposed to be. Unless you work for Cavs.com, I don't want to hear any nonsense defending Darius from last night. The man makes $200 million a year. Show up in a big-time game. You didn't show up last year in the postseason in Game 7 against Orlando. You didn't show up 2 years ago in Game 3 against the Knicks. I have multiple instances of him not doing his job in big-time moments. When you make $200 million, that's when you have to start to show up, Nick. I did feel much happier saying it to you, though.
You were smiling as you were saying it.
Your words were vitriolic. I can't do anything but smile when looking at you right
your
now.
Your words were vitriolic. But your face said, I'm very happy about Darius Garland not having a good night last night.
No, it's miserable.
Yeah.
I wanted to come in here and have Darius go off, play a game like Donovan played, play a game like Evan played, play a game where you look at the end of it and like, oh, you lost, but he gave it his all, and man, he made a lot of really good shots and good, important comeback and everything. He was so bad, Nick. This is not good. This is a bad development. It doesn't mean he is trash. It doesn't mean that they need to trade him instantly or anything like that. But when you make $200 million and you are the highest paid player on this team for this season, And he is. Not next year,
so
but
next
this
season
year.
He could have a bad game against Boston, but not this year?
He's still got a $200 million deal on a max contract. Okay. Like, forget that nonsense for a second, okay? Like, when you make that type of money, you get to have some criticism. And I'm so tired of us protecting Darius Garland all day long.
Who's protecting?
If you are not speaking about what happened last night, you are in the protecting Darius Garland business.
Okay, isn't it just as simple as he could be tired and that's an awful matchup for an undersized guard?
Not when he consistently has games in big-time moments where this exactly happens.
I mean, this is all about last year. It's not about this year. It's not about 2 years before.
It was
about
2 years ago. 2 years ago in the Knicks series, he had the same exact situation happen.
Everyone in the Knicks series.
But it happened.
Like the
theme with Darius, and it doesn't mean every big game he wilts, but in more games than not, he wilts. This is not good that after 15 games of him looking awesome and turning a corner, that's what you got last night. That's
Boston,
not good.
Boston's backcourt is the best defensive backcourt in the NBA. They also happen to be some of the biggest guards in the NBA.
They are very good defensively. They also really tied up Jerome and Craig Porter, didn't they? Wow. No, they didn't. Both of them ate.
Craig Porter Jr. ate last night.
Both of them ate for their standards.
I believe Craig Porter Jr. was completely ignored.
For their
yesterday.
Standards, they
I'll
did.
Give you Ty Jerome. I thought Ty had a great game. Sam Merrill was quiet until 2 3-pointers in the late third quarter. Donovan had a great game last night.
Donovan
maybe not the
35.
Most. Yeah, but maybe not the most efficient game. I'm not here to polish and say Darius had a good game. I just don't think it's the end of the world. Like, at what point do the other 15 games not matter more than last night?
I think last night matters more than the other 15 games.
So
when I'm judging him off of can you show up in big time moments, and that's a big time moment. We talked about that game for 5 days.
What about the Golden State game? Did he not have a nice game that night?
That's not the Boston game that I'm focused on. That's not the one we spent 5 days on.
So basically, it's only four games.
No, it's not. It's not that he always wilts under pressure. He's had good postseason games, good postseason moments. The play-in game 3 years ago, the Brooklyn game, and the Hawks game. He's capable of doing it, but it's not at a point where you can rely on him. That's the sad development of that.
But it's
against the Warriors
game.
Is nice. It's not one game. It's not one game.
No.
How many playoff games do I have
to
show
this
you?
Year. Wait, no. Specific to this year, it is one game.
He's had two big games to play in this year. One of them looked good. Okay. One of them didn't. Okay. That's the Darius Garland trend.
Okay, but not – I just – like this idea of – because here's the thing. I think it reinforces your idea that we got too excited about the first 15 games of the year. No. Darius had a bad game. There's no really defending here because I agree he had a bad game. Kenny Atkinson had a defense for him. I don't think I should buy it. I don't think you should buy it. I also think the matchup matters. Like, I do think, like, this should be a game that we go into it going, at least one of our guards is going to struggle with what they do because defensively you can't switch out of them the way that you can do on every other team in the NBA. This might just happen to be the team that is going to have Darius's numbers. Now, do I think that it's
that's
a reminder?
Not a good development when you got to get past this team.
Well, I mean, you still have Donovan. You still have Evan Mobley. Like, I'll be honest with you, if you had come back, and I think the bigger problem from last night is you just were asleep at the wheel for a half. That's not great. I do think Darius struggling is noteworthy, but I don't think it's like, you make $200 million. You never show up. Like, I think that's just bottled up from last year.
I think you get to criticize players when they make $200 million.
Yeah, but what's the right level of criticism for one game, no matter what the game is?
When Yankees fans go after Aaron Judge for a lackluster postseason, they're 100% on the right. He gets paid all that money. He's got to show up in those moments. You got to be a big-time player
in the biggest of games. That's a 32-year-old slugger
Jackson does whatever he's doing in Baltimore against the Chiefs and in the postseason and against the Steelers, fans get to be critical.
Nobody puts Darius in that stratosphere that you just put him in, though.
You do when you're the highest-paid player on the team. That's exactly what Aaron Judge is.
All I heard all offseason was that he wasn't in the league of one of the 15 best players in the NBA. So, like, Aaron Judge is bona fide one of the five best, most productive power hitters in the game.
His contract suggests he should be playing at an elite level.
Why give a damn about what you get paid?
It's a capped league.
Andrew Wiggins going to go down.
It's a capped league.
$400 million, and he's never been one of the three best players in the championship.
When you take up $200 million, and you're the highest paid player.
We don't have to
just sit there and coddle everyone.
If you want to say this harshes your mellow in the first 15 games, fine. That is a fine thing. But constant,
I can't rely on the highest paid player on the team right now. I can't rely on him in a big time game.
They're all highly paid.
When I can't
Next
rely
year,
on him in big time games,
the highest paid player.
I can't rely on him in big time games. He's just going to be hit or miss.
No, yes,
that's okay.
That's, by the way,
that's an acceptable thing. It's okay. We're fine. That's an acceptable thing, Nick.
That's even more ridiculous than what I'm wearing on my face. Oh, no, it's not.
It's not.
No, it's a really bad game. And I'll continue. We're not going to do the Jameis thing where we describe.
But it's convenient, like, against the biggest game you have all year, when the lights are as bright as you have, and we spend 5 days talking about this game.
So let me ask you.
Just a bad day to have a bad day at the office.
No, I don't think anybody's saying that.
Sure.
One, people are saying it's a matchup issue. I think that's a fair thing to say. Two, the Cavs have played more at basketball than anybody in a short amount of time this year. And three, he's not your best player. He's probably not even your second best player. So to put it to money, I don't care about the money. The money is what it took to get him to keep
you. The money is where the criticism comes. You get to have as much criticism as you want because of that, because of everything attached to Darius.
But why? You're not Dan Gilbert.
Why?
Why? Why does the money matter
league.
In a cap
because
situation?
Because it's a capped league,
yeah.
And when you gave him $200 million, I get to expect you show up in big-time games.
Okay, but again, he just hasn't done every single game, which, by the way, neither has Donovan. Donovan disappeared in the New York series as well. Donovan had at least one bad game in the Boston series. So, yes, guys, they're not Tatum and Brown. Okay. Sorry, I hit the nose on the microphone and it reset them. We were having a really good debate there. 216-474-0092. How much criticism does Darius deserve for last night? Because I'm okay with saying bad. You need to do better. I'm also okay. All right, those things had to go.
There we go.
I'm also okay saying, all right, that's a really bad matchup. Maybe he was a little tired. I'm okay with all of the parts of this argument. I just think that it needs to be taken any farther than that's ridiculous. Like, it's some sort of indictment he'll never do it.
It's not that. No, that's not the point. The point isn't that he'll never do it. I've said there are postseason games where he's looked good. It's not that he'll never do it. It's just in big games, can you rely on him to have a game where you feel like he's going to show up? And right now, there are more games than not where he won't.
But I think the way this is built, he doesn't have to do it every night. He just needs, it's really one of three.
Okay, then
needs to have it one out of every three or four games.
Are you comfortable then? I mean, last night they gave him the green light. They were like, it's not working, but we're going to let you shoot your way until it does work. It never worked. In a big time game, you got to feel comfortable then, Nick. And I hope Atkinson gets there where it's like, and I hope Donovan gets there where in the postseason, sorry, Darius, you don't have it tonight. We're now focusing the offense around Mobley, we're focusing around Allen, and we're focusing around Donovan, and you got to take a backseat.
So let me ask about that real quick. So what if he comes back in the next Boston game, which is what, 2 weeks from now? Week and a half from now? What if he comes back in 2 weeks and drops 40 on him?
He's capable. That's the thing.
Well,
he's capable.
But what's your response?
My response is...
Is it then all bad feelings are gone?
Not at all. Not in the slightest bit.
Oh,
my
yeah.
response is...
So really,
he's doing
he could
the
only
thing that he's
up.
Consistently... No, he's doing the thing he consistently does. In big-time games, sometimes he does just absolutely wilt. Aaron Judge hit home runs in the postseason last year.
I mean,
what is the overall theme of Aaron Judge?
The
theme around Aaron Judge is in the postseason. He stinks.
Yeah, he hit a buck 70. That's not the same thing as...
He also had a massive home run against the Guardians.
He hit a buck 70 and he hit one home run. It was that home run, which, by the way, was then canceled out.
Darius, 2 weeks from now, might be able to have a good game against Boston.
So only the negative games matter, though. That's what you're saying.
No. The negative games existing to the degree that they do is problematic. That is something we have to focus in on. Donovan doesn't just ever nothing burger like what happened with Darius where he goes 4 for 21.
All right. So what I need you, again, I think some of what you're saying is fair. So I'm not trying to argue the whole point. It's taking it to the nth degree is where you and I disagree to some degree.
What nth degree? My whole point is he's not above criticism. So many people walking around today and acting as if we just have to say everything is awesome around Darius.
Who specifically? Yeah.
A lot of people on this radio station, callers, texters, all sorts of people.
What specifically? Are we just talking about the morning show gave them the Peterlin pass?
They essentially gave them the Peterlin pass. I didn't want to put their name on it, but yeah, essentially.
Yeah, well, let's do it. I mean, I do it all the time. Let's just make it a show thing. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I guess they did give him a Peterlin pass. I think they did give him, I mean, they let him completely off the hook if we're being fair. But at the same point, I don't know. I think for some reason, making about money, I just am not that's not where I'm at.
It's more than money. But when you make $200 million, that is a component.
OK, but I think my point is because I need you to call out now every big game, because you and I aren't going to see every game that's a big game the same way. Some games you're going to put up on a pedestal. Some games I'm going to put up on a pedestal. There'll be some overlap, but not, you know, uniformity.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious, like, are you going to call out every big game for Darius to earn your trust?
Every
on?
Game we spend 5 days talking about ahead of time, and every game that feels like a massive game, yeah, we're going to look
like,
at these
there's
things.
There's like four of them this year.
I know. He doesn't have many opportunities to go ahead and wipe away this season
so what
we currently
it?
Believe.
So what is it? Is it 3 of 4 games against Boston if he
there's
scores
no
20 or more?
There's no identifying number. It doesn't work that way. He failed this test. This was a test to see if he had evolved and gotten much better from last year and could do it when the lights were bright. He failed this test. They have taken on 12 of their 15 games, Nick, have been against bottom half of the league defenses. I'm not worried about game 72 against Charlotte. I'm not worried about game 42 against Memphis. I'm worried about the games that matter and the situations that matter.
Well,
in those
but you
games
just said, you said 4 of 82 games
in
matter.
Those, you said that. I didn't say 4 of 82.
I mean, you said basically,
that.
Boston, we agree. Boston's like the one big game we're going to get up for, right?
Boston, you get up for.
Okay. What other games on the schedule have the weight that last night had?
Probably not many. That's why it's important that he showed out in those games. He failed this test.
None of it matters until you see him in the postseason.
Like last night didn't matter?
No.
We talked about it for 5 days ahead of the game.
I'm talking about making big sweeping conclusions or saying we got to hold his feet to the fire.
Not big sweeping conclusion. This has been 3 years of Darius where we've seen him in big games. Sometimes he shows up, more times than not he doesn't.
Game 7
against Orlando last year. We had the Knicks series left and right. I mean, what are we talking about?
I think we're talking about a difference of opinion on a really damn good player who's having a really damn good year with a bad night. 216-474-0092. How much criticism does Darius Garland deserve for last night? Will you shame him with us? I'm kidding. I'm being a little bit of a D. We do have Ross Tucker coming up at 4. We get his thoughts on where the Browns are, the idea of mulligans. God, I love mulligans in golf. I love breakfast balls in golf. In football, with a lack of leadership, not so much. Daryl Ryder joins us at 5:40. Sweet young thing, Jax, help us out with bandwagons coming up. In the second half of the 6 o'clock segment, we got quick hits coming up, though, in just about 20 minutes here. But the Cavs did lose to Boston last night. They made it close towards the end. We got that going for us. But 216-474-0092, at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. How much criticism does Darius deserve for last night? We'll get to that next on 92.3 The Fan. That is Kenny Atkinson, Cavs head coach. We do have quick hits coming up in 15 minutes, but trying to explain Darius Garland's bad night. Now, here's where I will meet you in the middle.
Okay.
I think of all the ways to talk about his Darius's bad night, and again, it was a bad night. There will be no argument on that. We're not going to sugarcoat it. Was a bad night. That is the weakest. We've played a dense schedule. I don't.
We hit a wall.
Yeah, like he hit a wall, and that does happen. That's not what happened last night.
It's also game 16.
Like
you're hitting a wall.
I think
that's
some
a problem.
Of this is Darius's. Darius does struggle with more physical matchups, and Boston clearly from the jump played like the more physical team. Something Kenny Atkinson also admitted. He basically said.
Are both, by the way, very, very present in playoff games.
That note, totally fair, but I also think that speaks to roster composition. Now, this is not where I turn on Kobe Altman, because that's neither here nor there. I do think that this is where you need that size, and you need that athleticism and size and maybe some physicality on the wing. Usually you do get that from Isaac. Usually you can get some of that from Dean Wade. I almost said Caris LeVert, then I laughed. No, I mean, Caris is a useful player to throw out there in that event that just a little bit of size next to you does help. And Ty Jerome and Sam Merrill ain't it. Not in that regard. Not in that kind of matchup to fill that role. And then, by the way, in the last 4 years, you haven't drafted or developed somebody to fill that spot either. So I do think, like, yes, Darius struggles in this environment, but you can help players not struggle in that environment. The Cavs, just the guys that they use that for, weren't in last night, and they haven't made that trade for that big, that Herb Jones, that kind of player. And George Niang ain't in it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like when he was going to the basket. You ever watch on TikTok those the videos of the people at the fairs or the circuses, and they're just trying to shoot to win the jersey, and they're just bricks all day because the rims aren't right. That's what every time Darius shot, it felt like he was shooting off one of those, trying to win like a classic Vince Carter jersey. It just It was off. It was noticeably off. And we see this with him. And I wonder if the Cavs have to. I thought a lot about Clayton Kershaw for some reason today and thinking about Darius. And there's something that happened with the Dodgers. Kershaw obviously won multiple Cy Youngs, one of the best pitchers in the sport. And in the playoffs, he had an ERA near 5, Nick. He was just a disaster in the postseason. And in the big moments, you just kind of knew that. This great pitcher just kind of melted down for whatever reason it was. And in the World Series a couple years ago when they won and they beat the Rays, he was phenomenal. And he was phenomenal that entire postseason. And in one big postseason stretch, he was able to flip that narrative. You can do this with Darius, but there's something in him. When the lights get bright, there's something in him. It's going to be a 50-50 shot. And right now, I can't rely on him in these moments.
I still think it's a physicality. I don't think that's his game. And so, like, specifically, if you, like, in the post, when he would take one of the guards off the dribble, and again, Derek White is not a huge guy. He's kind of average size for a guard, but he's got a big wingspan. And White would just go up and just kind of go over him. And instead of trying to power through it, he kind of just did the, I'm going to try and flip it around.
So Al Horford's a massive problem for Darius.
Yeah, I mean, I think Al's just, I think, I mean.
He kept trying to go by him, and he couldn't do it.
I know he's washed, but Al is probably one of the savviest defenders. That's like the perfect player for the perfect role
team. That's what I'm saying. Like, he kept trying to get by him. They switched on him, and it just wouldn't work.
But I do think, like, I think if I said something I'd like to see different from Darius, I would like to see him, when somebody goes up on him, especially another guard, go up, elicit the contact, and try and get the foul, instead of what I saw probably 3 times last night. Like, that was my big thing about, again, I don't think he loves contact. I'm not saying for him to be a different player, but in that moment, if you're going to drive on those guys, you got to try and finish with some level of authority.
Do you think it was interesting they kept going back to him? Like, I think that's the spot to do that, but it was interesting. You could tell Donovan and Atkinson, they really wanted to see him just see the ball go through and then maybe get hot.
I think there is a risk there of forcing it with a guy and it becoming in his head. Like, I think we saw last year, things can get into Darius's head. And that's not the spot you want to be in with Darius. Everything's been so positive. I kind of think they were a little stubborn with Darius last night. And I think you just need to let those moments grow for him. All right, he didn't have it. Well, don't make a case out of it. Don't make a federal case out of it. Let everybody else kind of cook. And then in the next game, all right, we coached you up. Here's what we didn't see. Let's go again. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I think some of last night was a little bit stubbornness by Atkinson and Mitchell. Not a criticism, an observation. Because I like that kind of stubbornness usually. It's just with this player, coming off last year, it's been 15 games, very excited for those first 15 games. We're still kind of building Darius up. I don't think he needed to be stubborn last night.
No, I mean, Brian Anderson just kept, he seemed very perplexed at the idea that they're letting Darius shoot again. It was like, okay, all right. We all had the same thoughts too, did we not?
I mean, in fairness, there were a lot of moments, at least in the first half of, they're letting ... take a shot again, because it was just not good.
Yeah, and then the third quarter comeback. By the way, a team that had been ridiculed for their third quarters, that was the best quarter they had all last night.
You know why? Because 2 weeks ago, Kenny Atkinson ripped him in the median and said, hey, we got to do better than this.
I heard that was the turnaround.
Yeah, that was, they're going to say, it was that and Nick Wilson playing that sound
as he had the
on afternoon drive.
He had the media equivalent of being asked, what do you do poorly in a job interview? And someone answers with their strengths.
Mario, welcome to the show. How much criticism does Darius deserve for last night's big goose egg?
I'm a big Darius guy, Darius guard, and want to get him out of here guy. I've been screaming at for 2.5 years. But here's the thing, I will say this. I can't blame him for last night, man. Like, when I look at that game and you look at the overall, the hype of the game, for us to only lose that game by 3, when our key guys go 3 for 21, first of all, let's just say, JP, you're overreacting. You're overreacting, man. Like, pump your brakes for a minute, man. He had a bad game, man.
I'm not trading him. Mario, I'm not trading him or anything. I'm not saying he deserves to be benched for the rest of the year or anything insane. I'm just saying he might have a lights or two bright problem that still has persisted.
But I think the best thing that happened was, keep shooting, because it's like, look, you don't see these guys again. So just keep shooting your shot. And overall, besides getting the win, I think that was the best outcome we could have had. If that was a heavyweight title fight, that was a unanimous decision win by the Celtics, and I think they don't want to get back in the ring with us after we're down Dean Wade, LeVert, Isaac, y'all don't want to play us again. What y'all got, Porzingis on the bench? He's not going to make that much of a difference when it comes to us again. I like what I've seen. Just let him shoot. Keep shooting. That's what we do here now. That's what Atkinson do. We shoot the ball, and we're going to live, and we're going to die by it. So, with the dudes, the Celtics won the game. So, we're 15-1. We'll see them again.
Mario, appreciate you. Appreciate the whoop-de-doo. I do like how he started it by saying, I've wanted Darius out of here for 2.5 years, but JP, you're out of line.
I know, okay.
By the way, the Celtics are not thinking, man, we almost lost that game. I guarantee you the Celtics have zero, I don't want to say zero fear. I don't think they came away from that game with more fear.
You heard Tatum in the post game. What'd he say? He's like, this is a game of streaks. What is the NBA built on? It's a game of streaks. He's like, they had a streak, and then we responded. That
and
was
by
it.
By the way, what an a-hole that guy is. I mean, what a...
You don't like the foul at the end?
Well, that's not even the only one.
Bloodying up Donovan?
Just every time the Cavs did something good, he had some sort of arrogant response.
I told you yesterday going into it, I thought Boston was going to be... That was the type of game that they were really going to try to... Show the Cavs who's boss, essentially.
And they did.
And they definitely came out with that mentality.
216-474-0092. How much criticism does Darius Garland deserve for last night's goose egg? We got quick hits next on 92.3 The Fan. You guys can vote right now. At Nick Wilson says, we started the show disagreeing about Darius Garland's big night. We both agreed he had a bad night. But what does that mean, and how much criticism does he deserve? One of the things JP said in that first segment was that Darius' struggles against Boston outweighed his strong play in his first 15 games. So we have a question. How you see it? 18% of people saying yes right now. Only 100 votes in. You guys can vote at Nick Wilson Says on social media. But let's go ahead and get to quick hits. All right, JP, let's get started here. Russell Wilson comes to Cleveland as the Steelers starting quarterback for the first time tomorrow and released a hype video for Thursday Night Football on social media. In this video, have you seen it? I should start with that.
No, okay. I know you commented on it. I think you sent it over in the DMs. I did not open it.
If you put Phil Collins in the air tonight in your hype video, is it fail-proof? Because that's what he did.
Well, I mean, that's Baker's logic. That was Baker's move. He's just stealing Baker's material now. Is Russell Wilson a bit Steeler? One has to wonder.
Worse than Baskin and Phelps, some are saying.
Reason why I didn't open it, Nick, or have to look at it is because I knew what it was going to be. I knew there'd be some montage. I didn't know what song. I didn't know who was going to be involved as far as the song was concerned. But like, you've seen one Russ hype video. You've seen them all.
I just think it's funny that he's hyping up this game. Like, you're 8-2, and they're 2-8.
It's just who he is.
He would hype
it up if they were 2-8, though. That's the thing about Russ.
This would be like Mike Tyson releasing a hype video when he's going to beat Wee Man's ass. Like, at some point, fella, just take the easy victory and move on down the road. You don't have to get hyped about this game. Like, but if he had done this for the Ravens game, does he do it for every game?
I don't know if he does it for every game, but I have seen other videos in the past.
So here's the other thing. Does he just have a hype video guy?
Yeah, he's got a whole social media team that does all this stuff.
That's okay. Hopefully he doesn't pay him well, because this was very...
You think Russ was like in there using iMovie and editing and creating it?
It was kind of a rhetorical question. I know he has to have a social media team, but it's kind of like the low-hanging fruit of low-hanging fruits. Did we get... Did the thing go off?
Yeah, it went off.
Did I miss it?
Yeah, we're on to the next one.
I was just so outraged by all that.
Omaha!
Ohio State has a starting center issue, and the best offensive lineman on their team, Seth McLaughlin, tore his Achilles. He is out for the year now, Nick.
A lot of that going around.
And
Protect your Achilles.
They already have a bunch of offensive line problems, just being another one. Vegas, by the way, did not make this any sort of impact. It went from minus 13 to minus 13.5. They somehow went the wrong direction.
They must have seen Seth McLaughlin's snaps in the national championship or in the playoff game 2 years ago.
I have Buckeye friends. You would know this better than I do. I have Buckeye friends that are panicking right now over what their offensive line is.
But yeah, because their O-line already sucks.
Yeah.
So when your O-line sucks and the guys who are your best O-linemen start to go down, like Josh Simmons, now like Seth McLaughlin, I mean, I just feel like this is where you're at. No, this is a real concern. This could be the thing that undoes Ohio State's championship dreams. And honestly, Ryan Day only has himself to blame. He bought back Justin Fry, who I don't think is a good O-line coach. They've not developed well. They've not plucked from other organizations well. This is a real concern. It also might cost you the Big Ten title game, because now your O-line's worse than it was if you play Oregon when you played them the last time.
I mean, no shot they lose to Indiana, though, right?
I don't want to say it.
Are you putting it on the table?
No, I feel like the second that I say it is the second that they'll go ahead and lose.
They're guaranteed to win?
Yeah, and I can't.
Wait. When you say it, do you think that means they make them lose, or are you giving like your, like if we had like the Peterlin pick of death, for instance, where anytime I pick something, it just doesn't happen? Is that what you have?
Something like that, yeah. Little afraid. Afraid on it.
Very fair.
Deion Sanders has Colorado at 8-2, JP, and on the auspices of the playoff conversation, I believe they're ranked 16th right now. The big jump from a rocky first year in Boulder comes rumors and innuendos that Deion could level up with a new gig in either college or the pros, but Deion continues to push back on that idea.
You going to talk about me going somewhere with my AD in there?
Convention zone.
Yeah, they mentioned us with a lot of other stuff before we start winning too, didn't they? That wasn't fair, was it? Like, I'm happy where I am, man. I'm good. I got a kickstand down. You know what a kickstand is? A lot of people don't in there, not of age, don't know what a kickstand is. That means I'm resting. I'm good. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm enthusiastic about where I am. I love it here. I truly do.
Two-parter. One. Are kickstands not a thing anymore?
I think people know what a kickstand is.
I mean, I don't understand. That was a really wild. Like, a lot of people don't know what kickstands are anymore.
Sure about that?
People don't ride motorcycles anymore, really, the same way that they did.
Well, yeah, but doesn't everyone still grow up riding bikes? Every kid that I know that's friends with my kids has bikes. That's where I learned kickstands from. Not
yeah,
motorcycles.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I thought motorcycles. I didn't even think about like a child with a bike. But yeah, you should know what a kickstand is.
You know, you guys, you young people don't know about this. It's called car brakes.
Yeah. It's called a brake pedal.
Yeah, you guys don't know about this. Have you heard about? It's called the internet. All right, and I don't know if the internet's still a thing. The second thing is, are you buying what Deion is selling about being content at Colorado?
I don't buy a word that ever comes out of that man's mouth.
Yeah, he is. And here's the thing.
He doesn't either, though. That's the thing. He doesn't either.
It's all bull junk. I'm going to tell you right now, if the Cowboys said, here's a 5-year, $75 million deal to be our head coach, or 65, because 65 would be $15 million a year, he'd take it. If Oklahoma or Alabama or anybody, Florida State certainly with Mike Norvell, if any of those people or any of those schools gave him that, he would take those jobs in a heartbeat. He likes Colorado for now.
Omaha! All right, we go to a clip on ESPN from Joey Galloway suggesting that Curtis Rourke, the Indiana quarterback, should be benched on Saturday against Ohio State. Here we go.
Honestly, if we believe in what our metrics are saying, if I'm Indiana, I don't know if I'm playing Rourke against Ohio State. We've seen what happened to Florida State last year, Jordan Travis. What could keep Indiana out of this? Getting their quarterback hurt. We've seen it happen to Florida State last year. Having not played anybody. If you look at 3, 4, and 5, Texas, Penn State, and Indiana, they literally have played nobody between all three teams. The toughest team in that is Vandy. So a lot of this that we're looking at is eye test. When you look at the resumes of 3, 4, and 5, it brings back the idea of let me not play anybody and be undefeated.
I mean, he makes a point. I hate it. I don't believe this is what college football should do in the slightest bit. You got to play. You take on Ohio State. That would be a massive disappointment if you're just avoiding Ohio State because you think it's in the best interest. And you know what? The committee should punish it. Well, the idea is if it's not with your strength, if your quarterback's not on the field and your strength isn't there, then they can't hold a loss against you because it wasn't you at full strength against Ohio State.
So you tank the game?
That's what he's suggesting. That's why it's one of the dumber things I've ever heard.
That is just... I mean, it's almost insulting.
For the whole sport, it's insulting.
And here's the thing. Like, I don't think teams would do that. If you do this, you would. Meaning...
Somebody's going to eventually do it.
Yeah, but that person's also going to get fired.
Well, very quickly. And they're also running a program they don't actually believe in. Because if you're Indiana, you have to try to believe, even at 13.5-point dogs, that you can beat Ohio State.
I just don't love that. I'm annoyed at Joey Galloway now. He's on my you-know-what list.
Omaha!
Adam Schefter's broken many a stories in his illustrious career when he joined Kevin Clark's This Is Football podcast. Shefty was asked about the weirdest place he's broken a story and did not disappoint.
Weirdest place you've broken a story is what?
I can remember being in Denver one time, and I was... How do I say this? I had just spent time with this woman for the first time.
Yeah. Okay.
And
sure.
And got a text that Dale Carter was being suspended. I think it was for 8 games for substance abuse. And so as I continued to lay there confirm it, and got the job done, Kevin, in every which way.
I'm just staring straight at the camera, buddy. I'm just not, that's it. This is the greatest episode we've ever had.
I think Adam Schefter's married, and that's a dumb thing to admit in public.
He's married. I'm happy that Dale Carter played, 30 years ago.
Yeah. Well, no, still dumb.
If the timelines didn't add up there, if he was like,
unless it's his wife, you don't talk about, just laying it for the first time with somebody else on a national podcast.
Well, if you would have just been like, just got done with this girl for the first time, and the Jordan Love extension news broke, and I had to be on it, that would be a little much.
Whoopsie Dale Carter. Daisy. So I dropped her back off at college, and then one, it is funny, but
congrats
two,
on the sex, Schefter.
Two, charming or chotch?
Very chotch.
Very
chotch.
It felt
like he needed to let us know that he had sex with someone that wasn't his wife at some point in life.
And we don't believe. I mean, look at the man.
Also, and for the first time, as if there was an assumed multiple times for sure.
As if, like, the third time they had done it, it would have been, it would have been okay. It would have happened. But the first time, that's a special thing. Here's the other part about this that just annoys the hell out of me. What is Kevin Clark laughing about? He doesn't know where this is going. And he just goes, what was that laugh about?
It was a lot. Also, this is another chapter in the insiders think we care way too much about their life.
Yes.
And we just really...
Report the news, clown. That's where we are.
Make me a bicycle, clown. Yeah. Do your job. Omaha! Do we have time for one more?
One more.
All right, let's do it.
Make it quick.
Chiefs and the Bills game drew 31... Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I clarked.
Chiefs Bills game drew 31 million viewers. 31 outside of Thanksgiving and Christmas games. That was the biggest audience the NFL's had for a regular season game since 2007, when the Colts and the Patriots matched up and were undefeated. It aired in the 4:25 window. The opening window was about 20 million viewers. That was CBS's biggest regional window audience since 1992. 31 million for Chiefs Bills.
Look at that.
I mean,
those are numbers.
Line those pockets.
Those numbers mean something.
In case you're worried, those numbers mean something.
It save the season? 216-474-0092.
How do they keep growing in popularity, Nick? It feels like everything is going down. NBA is down 25% to open up the season as far as their viewership is concerned. Everything is going down. Football continues to find fans from anywhere.
Make the Chiefs play every game and every weekend. It's like the gauntlet. Have you made Mahomes just go, all right, Mahomes, all right, you just beat the Bills. Now I got to go play the Browns, and then I got to beat the Cowboys. Like, play them until they lose. It's the only way. Only way you can get more people watching. I just think at this point, the
Mahomes does live in that 425 window, though.
Yeah. And he
does. They give him a lot of 425 window games.
Man, I got to say, if I am Roger Goodell, I'm just sending these numbers to Adam Silver, who, when he was asked about the NBA TV numbers, is like, I mean, politics, the World Series, is like, oh, Adam. Adam, none of us believe that fella. Things have either gotten really hilarious or really got out of control in Berea. We have proof next on 92.3 The Fan.